Green light? All right. Tonight's devotional will probably be rather short. I don't know if I've got a sinus infection, allergies, or what. So pardon me if I have to take a little break here in a minute. Wanted to talk to you about something tonight. It's called profanity. I know that we've never heard it before. And yet, I look for a time from the past when people were more respective of others, that profanity wasn't widely used as it is today. It was a time when men would watch their language, especially around ladies. It was a time when profanity, most of it in school, was locker room type thing. Today, it's totally different. Used to be TVs and movies were very little, if any, profanities. But we hear it all the time today. Back in 99, the Parent Television Council had taken a survey on watching on TV, and they call it the family time from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening. And they found out in that year that profanity had went up 58% on that hour's time on TV. That's been 18 years ago, 19 years ago. How much has it gone up today from that? Is a great amount. So we know that it's something else. In 1957, William Barclay, he was a Scottish scholar, also a minister of the Church of Scotland, a commentary writer. He died in 1978, but he had said in 1957 now, There can never have been a time in history when so much filthy language is used as it is today. And the tragedy is that today there are many people who have become so habituated to unclean talk that they are unaware that they are using it. One of my things that I like to say, especially the young people, you put garbage in your brain, you get garbage out your mind and out on your thoughts. Profanity is one of those things. I wonder what William Barclay would think today if he was alive about his comment from 57, some 50 years ago, well, 60 years ago now. How much more is prevalent than it would be. You know, if somebody can't say anything without using profanity, they ought to keep quiet. It's not worth hearing. Their thoughts aren't. If we're not intelligent enough to talk and speak without profanity, keep quiet. Of course, a lot of times we know that anger is part of the problem, and especially when people get mad, profanity even flies more so. But Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and in the fourth chapter in verse 29, he said, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Don't say anything that going to cause a problem to start with. But when he's talking about no corrupt word, a word that is in the Greek that is akin to that word that was used in corrupt is to rot. We know what things will happen when they rot, how bad they smell. Bad language smells. Profanity smells bad. In Colossians, the third chapter, Paul wrote to them and said, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." You know, anger is a strong feeling of displeasure and and belligerence aroused by something that's wrong. Wrath, of course, is a strong, stern, or a fierce anger, deeply resentful indignation, vengeance, or punishment as a consequence of anger. Paul said to get rid of both of them. We need to get rid of both of them. You know, sometimes when I talk about something like this, I know that I'm, what a lot of people say, you're preaching to the choir. And I hope that's what I'm doing here. I hope that none of us have that habit of using profanity. When Paul says that we need to get rid of it, we need to get rid of it. Years ago, there was a fellow that had done some preaching on the side, and he had gone someplace for an invite for preaching and such. The fellow was actually a construction worker that had done the preaching on the side, and he had went to a congregation someplace and preached that day and met a lot of people. And during the week, he was on a construction site and heard a lot of profanity coming from somebody. And he looked at him and he said, "Well, you go to such and such congregation, don't you?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "I think I saw you serving at the Lord's table last Sunday." He said, "I can't believe I'm hearing the language that I'm hearing." So sometimes Christians fail to speak in a way that others realize that they are Christians. So we want to be careful about that in our daily life. We need to make sure that we hold our tongue, especially when we're angry. You know, I told you it's going to be a short devotion, and it is. All Christians need to keep our language good, clean, encouraging other people. But you know, we have some people that aren't Christians. It's a good time to think about becoming one. Do you believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you know that you need to repent and quit sinning and turn your way around and go the opposite direction? Do you need to know that you need to confess that He is the Son of God? And do you know that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sin? And then live faithful all your life? If you are a Christian and you've fallen back or you need the prayers of the church, we have that opportunity to come forward now. And if we can help you, we will. Thank you.
Mountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you. Soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows. Hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty. 'tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
You're dismissed to your classes.